Let's see what the Bible has to say about peace. Number one, we want to know that it's the right kind of peace. If you were to take a look at Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. Scripture has this: for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Well, there are a couple of choices that we have there. Number one is the mind on the flesh. And if that is our deal, it brings forth death. But there's a number of things that we can talk about here this morning just concerning this one particular verse. You notice it comes from the inside. We want peace, but it has to come from the inside. And where your mind is, that's what you give allegiance to. If you want to chase money, that's where your mind is at. If you want to chase people, that's where your mind is at. If you want to chase addictive behaviors, that's where your mind is at. If you want to chase abusive language and speech, then that's where your mind is at. You get that idea. You get it. You understand that the abusive husband, when he comes up and starts beating his wife, you know what, where his mind is? If the kids are just a terror at school, you know where their minds are. You know where the parents' minds are. So there's just all kinds of things that develop and come from the mind. Even the peace that we find in Jesus Christ first has to come from the mind. So the mind is where it's at when it comes to these kinds of thoughts and these kinds of feelings. And once again, you can have peace that's good, or you can have death that's bad. Now, when you set your mind on the flesh, and there are just many, many different kinds of thoughts about sins, you can go over to Galatians 5, verse 19. There are just a whole host of them that are listed there. But I like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Beginning in verse 9. Now notice that these verses, as these words are listed here, that those who practice such things do not, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But I want you to consider this in just a little bit different light. Do you not know that the unrighteous will die? Die spiritually, separated from God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're a fornicator, that's where your mind is, and that's going to be the cause of your spiritual death. If you're an idolater, that's where your mind is, and the result of that is going to be spiritual death. If you are an adulterer, that's where your mind is going to be, and that's going to cause your spiritual death. If you are effeminate or a homosexual, the Bible just comes right on out and says it. If you're of this particular persuasion, you are going to die separated from God for eternity in the lake of burning fire. If you're a thief, you're going to die. If you are covetous, your mind is set on the greedy things of the world. If you are a drunkard, your mind is set on the next addictive substance, but it's going to cause you death. If you're a reviler, that is, you revile God, you revile government, you revile authority, you are going to die before God. If you're a swindler, you will die before God. And all of these things, then, when he talks about flesh, then results in hell. And you know about hell as well as I do. It is indeed a burning lake of fire. Jesus really had a lot to say about hell. He even said, listen, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to go in to heaven with one hand missing than it is to burn in hell. He says, if your foot causes you to sin, cut your foot off. He says, it's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed than it is to go to hell. He says, if your eyes cause you to sin, pluck out your eye, because it's better to go to heaven without one eye than it is to burn in hell. I mean, that's pretty strong language. You don't say that kind of stuff to somebody unless it's a really huge hyperbolic statement. That is, we overstate it in order to make the point to drive it home. So we don't want to go to hell. That is the worst place that you could possibly imagine. All right, so but on the other hand, listen now. It says that the mindset on the spirit, and that's the other choice that we've got. A mindset on the spirit. Let me tell you about this. If your mind is set on the spirit, love is interesting to you. If your mind is set on the spirit, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control, all of these things are on your mind. And these are the things that will lead you to heaven. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? The fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, you see, is a produce. It comes from a mind that was once sinful, but that you've given your mind over to Jesus Christ, and you're transforming your mind every day. You're renewing your mind every day to make it more and more like Jesus Christ. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit, because you're connected with Jesus Christ, because you're connected with God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, because you're connected to the Word of God, every day your nature, your mind, grows closer and closer to what is listed there in the fruit of the Spirit. So let me just go over there for just a moment, please. Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22, please. If you don't see, feel, experience love in your heart, because that's where we're talking about from your mind, it doesn't come from my wife, it doesn't, well, although it does, it doesn't come from my children, although it can, but that's not the kind of love we're talking about. If you don't have or feel or experience the kind of love that God has for you and for other people, then you need to work on your mind. You need to work on your spirit. If you don't have joy in your heart, did you wake up yesterday and say, this is Saturday, it's not only the weekend, but it's another day I get to serve God? Did you think about that yesterday? How about on Monday? Monday, I got to go back to work. I got to go back to this old crummy job, and I hate it. It's boring, and it just takes the life out of me, man. But did you think about the fact? Can you turn that around to say, man, I used to think my job is crummy, but now I can turn it around and look at it and say, you know, I am serving people. I am helping people get what they need. I'm helping people to get to where it is that they need to be. I am helping people achieve their life. This is another day in which the Lord has made. I can rejoice in it. I can be joyful even though I have to go to a job that I may not particularly appreciate. Love, joy. How is it that I have that joy? Well, we'll talk about that. And you can go on and talk about any of these things. Love, joy, peace, which is what we're talking about today. If your mind, if your heart is not settled in peace with God and with man, you need to work on your mind. You need to change some things in your life. You need to change the way that you think. If you don't have enough patience, you need to change the way that you think. If you are lacking in kindness toward others, let me tell you, you need to think differently than the way that you think heretofore. If you don't know about goodness, if you can't keep your mind centered on good things, if you can't keep your mind centered on sweet things, productive things, beneficial things, good things, then you need to change your mind. You need to work on your spirit. And what about faithfulness? I'm faithful most of the time or a good bit of the time, but sometimes, flatly, I just choose the way of the world. Well, what's that called? Mind, flesh, sins, hell, death. So we don't want that. So on again, the other things, gentleness, self-control. If your mind is not set on these kinds of things, then you need to change your mindset. I'm talking basic Christianity here. I'm talking about changing our lives to be pleasing unto our Lord and Savior. You know, we confessed, we said, you know, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so the only reason that you can reasonably say that is because you've researched it and found that out. You've taken a look at the testimony and you've said, oh, look at all this information. All this stuff bears out. And so it must be that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of God. And if he is, then I need to give my life to him. Otherwise, I'm lost. I am going to burn in hell. So we don't want that. What we want is to make a reasonable decision based on the evidence that we're going to serve God. And if we're going to serve God truthfully, then we're going to allow our heart to change. We're going to allow our mind to change, our behavior and our words and our actions and how we relate to one another. We're going to be doing what Jesus Christ wants us to be doing. All right, so if our mind is set on the Spirit, and that is salvation, we can just list that up here. Jesus, God, the Word of God, the Bible. If your mind is set on these things, then this is going to be life. That means eternal life. Now, when people come to the realization that Jesus is the Christ, they not only repent of their sins and they say, you know, I'm not going to do those sins again. I'm going to try my best to get over them. I'm going to break them down. I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm going to confess. I confess publicly that Jesus is the Christ, and I've been baptized to wash away my sins. And once we are in this, then we have eternal life. We live a life that is dedicated to God. You remember Galatians 2 and verse 20? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Jesus who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in him who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. Just as Christ died, I have died to myself. Whatever I thought was important, Paul said in Philippians, whatever I thought was important, it's not important. Whatever I thought that I wanted to get, not important. In fact, that's pretty much just all trashy stuff. I would rather have Jesus Christ than have a lot of possessions here on this earth. I would rather go to heaven than to have some sort of status as a Jewish teacher. So Paul said all of those things. I would rather give up my entire life. I will give up my entire life just so that I can be with Jesus Christ. That is real eternal life. But there's also the magic word in which we're studying this morning, and that is peace. So you got to find it. It's the right kind of peace. Now, let me make some preface statements here. I believe that if Mr. Putin had the fruit of the Spirit, that he wouldn't be invading Ukraine. I believe that if Hitler had the fruit of the Spirit, that he wouldn't have started World War II. And I believe that if Wilhelm Kaiser had the fruit of the Spirit, he wouldn't have started World War I. I believe that the way that America has treated certain people, if our leaders had the fruit of the Spirit, we wouldn't have gotten ourselves in certain situations that we have found ourselves in. And you can go on down. You can go talk about the warring nations in Africa, the military buildup in the Far East. If people had the fruit of the Spirit, people wouldn't have to have $800 billion in defense funding. I mean, that's just an enormous amount of money that's spent every year. All right. But even though I've said that, and I believe that's certainly true, we really are talking about something else. We want peace with God. You see, when people are sinners, they are enemies of God. The Bible word there is enmity, but that's what it means. It means enemies. And if I'm an enemy of God, that means I'm going to do everything that I can do to thwart his purposes, to kick him in the shin, to negate him, to rebel against him, to do everything that I can do against him. And that's really how people of this earth live. They live in sin. They live in rebellion to God. And they're never going to find this very peace that they're looking for, but they are going to find flesh, hell, and death. That's just what happens. When people do not go themselves with God, they devolve into animalism. They just revert to like animals. And they start feeding their senses rather than the fullness of their mind. The peace that I'm talking about is the peace that God offers. And so tell me, Garland, then, what are you talking about? What is this peace that you're talking about? It is the state, the tranquil state of the soul, the tranquil state of the soul. You know what tranquil means? Serene, the serene state of the soul. The soul that is at rest, the soul is at peace, the soul that is, does not fear because of their right relationship with the God of heaven, knowing, see, here's the key thing, because you can falsify that, you can make that up and it just doesn't work out right. So, but you gotta know this, knowing that your soul is secure in God. So if I die, like right the next moment, I'm good. I believe that I'm going to go to heaven. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I believe that my soul is secure. Why? Because if you love Jesus, you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to do what it is the Lord wants you to do. And that's your life. That's what it is to be a Christian. And so if you want this inner peace that people spend bazillions of dollars on every year, if you want this kind of peace, then you've got to get yourself in truth to the place where you know that your soul is secure. And how do you do that? You are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's word is the power to salvation. And so if you're a sinner and you're looking for this peace that stems from knowing that your inside is safe and well, if that's what you want in life, if you're looking for that peace, then you've got to come to Jesus. It's the only way that this happens. All right, so let's take another look here. You got to go to the right person for peace. John 14, please. John 14, verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. Even though I've got that there on the board for you, I'm going to turn over there. John 14 and verse 27. Jesus says that if you just look at this verse, it's a little bit confusing if you say, my peace I leave with you. It's like, what's that about? So let's go. Let's go back up to verse 23. John 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. What's it like to be loved by God, friends? How powerful. How can you explain? God's love is bigger than the universe. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him, our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding, living with you. Well, wait a minute. Okay, there's a clue. Something's about to happen here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now the first part of verse 27 makes sense. Because of the Holy Spirit, I'm leaving, but because of the Holy Spirit, I leave you with peace. I leave you with this connection, this fellowship, this heart link between your inner man and God the Father. With me, Jesus, the Son of God, and you, your heart, and the Holy Spirit in your heart. Peace I leave with you. He says, my peace I give to you. Which is a very interesting phrase. My peace? He says, not as the world. So if we're talking about just cessation of hostilities, that's really not the peace that we're talking about, although it would eventually get there. If you're mad at somebody and somebody's mad at you, that's really not what we're talking about, although it would eventually find its way there. If you're mad at your children, if you're mad at your spouse, if your spouse is mad at you, if your children are mad at you, if your supervisor is mad at you, if the police are mad at you, if anybody is unhappy with you, that's really not what we're talking about. Although it will eventually lead to that because you will be one who produces the fruit of the Spirit in your life. What we're talking about is the peace that Jesus gives. And what is that? It comes from life eternal. You cannot have the peace that God offers, that you so desperately want, unless you have that relationship. You are in a saved relationship with the Father in heaven, who loves you and even gave Jesus as a sacrifice so that you will live in peace with Him. He goes on to say, do not let your heart be troubled. Well, yeah. I mean, Jesus is going to leave. The authorities are going to come in. Jesus is going to be crucified. And they're not expecting that. Jesus is going to be buried in a rock tomb. They're not thinking about that. And even though Jesus has told them at least three times that He's going to rise on the third day, that doesn't seem to stick in their mind. They're concerned about the Roman authorities. They're concerned about the Jewish authorities. They're concerned about the followers. What's going to happen when you leave, Jesus? Is all this just going to fall apart? We've been following you for 3 years? And is all this just going to go by the wayside? Yeah, so they would have lots of fears. But Jesus says about peace, don't let your heart be troubled. My Father and I and the Holy Spirit, we've got this worked out. We've got it all covered. You're going to be okay. Regardless of what happens to you, you're going to be okay. Well, how can you say that, Jesus? Because we know Peter was supposedly crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded by the sword. Other apostles were set on fire. Other apostles were stabbed with the spear and sword. So how can you say that, knowing that the end of these apostles' life was going to be that way? He says, because I've got you covered. Because you see your heart, your soul, your spirit, your mind, what you consider your actual self is safe within me. And he says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to make you a home. And you're going to be there with me forever and ever in heaven. So don't let it be trouble. Don't let it be fearful. Don't have anxiety. Don't have worry. Don't get sick with anxiety. I've overcome death. And my love is enough. My grace is enough to cover all of the things that you find in your life. So you got to go to the right peace. You know what? Peace isn't in NATO. Peace is not in our president, whether you like Mr. Biden or not, whether you like Mr. Trump or not, whether the current president or not, whether you like him or not, it doesn't make any difference. Peace does not come in whoever is president of our United States. Peace does not come from whoever is leading in any particular country. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about peace with God that then supersedes, excuse me, the garbage that's in the world. We want this peace that comes by knowing and loving God. Then we have to have the kind of life of peace. 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 5. Beginning in verse 23. If you want to begin in verse 21, examine everything carefully. Examine everything carefully. Examine everything carefully. If it's the word, examine it carefully. If somebody wants you to do something, then you've got to examine that carefully. Now, kids, young folks, here's the deal. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention to this. People are going to want you to go do stuff with them. You've got to be able to examine that carefully. You do not want to go to some place that dishonors God. You certainly don't want to go someplace that's going to get you in trouble with the law or with mom and dad or authorities, whomever. So you got to have presence of mind. Now you're having fun and fun takes over, man. It's just like it just fills the brain. And you say, and somebody says, yeah, let's go do this. And you go, no, let me think about that. Kids, that's important. Super important. Hope you get that. All right, examine everything carefully, and then hold fast to that which is good. If you think you're going to end up in a bad place, chances are you're going to end up in a bad place. So no, hold on to that which you know is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain, that means no. I'm going to say no. I'm going to abstain from the alcohol that you offer me. I'm going to abstain from the movies that you offer me. I'm going to abstain from the the meanness that you offer me to get involved in. I'm not going to do that. Then, now, may the God of peace, God, who is the originator, who has all peace, and shares that peace with his children, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. That means clean you up. That means clean up your mind, clean up your heart, clean up your soul, clean up your behavior, clean up your actions, clean up your words, to be used for the Master's service. Now, we've had a couple of baptisms here in the last month, and I'm not just talking to Artie and T, but I'm talking about, you know, to everybody. When you agreed to be baptized, your thought was to have your sins washed away. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely, that's true. But you can't forget that you set yourself over to God's use. It's like saying, yes, Father, I want my sins to be forgiven, but I want to continue on doing the thing. No, you can't do that. So, I want my sins to be given, Father, and I'm going to dedicate my life to you. All right? That's sanctification. I have been set apart for God's use. Not for my friend's use. Not even for my use. I'm being set apart for God's use. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. Oh, now what are you talking about? What does that mean? Well, sometimes the spirit and the soul can be used interchangeably. But here in this verse, it's used both. And here it means the force of life, the light of life, as well as my spiritual life and my body be preserved. That means kept without blame. That means that God is not going to put a sin against you. So that means you're going to have to keep yourself clean. And at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how long you've got to live. All things being equal, younger people have a lot longer to live than older people. And so I want you to think about this. If you're 20 and you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, you might have another 60, 70 years to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. And through all of that time, you've got to keep your life pure, clean, sanctified unto God's use. That's the kind of peace that we're looking for. And it only comes with the relationship in Jesus Christ.